A UCLA law professor says affirmative action is working against black students in law schools around the country. In a study in the forthcoming issue of the Stanford Law Review, Richard Sanders says many African American students at the nation's top law schools are struggling academically. According to the new research, less than half of black students graduate and pass the bar exam on their first try. Almost 80% of white students do. Richard Sanders says he has always supported affirmative action, so the results surprised him.
I started the study thinking that the consequences I'd find would be mostly fairly neutral, and I was very surprised that in area after area I found the costs of preferences on black law students exceeding the benefits.
Richard Sanders says leading law schools, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, accept less qualified students to maintain racial diversity, and it's difficult for these students to compete with their better educated classmates. Harvard law professor David Wilkins questions this research, and he joined our discussion. David Wilkins says affirmative action programs at law schools are helping black students and should be left alone. But Sanders says many of these students would get much better grades and go on to pass the bar if they attended less prestigious law schools, which, according to Sanders, they would if the top universities cut back on the number of students admitted on the basis of racial preference.
I find that if you look at the hierarchy of law schools, the preferences given by the top tier of law schools essentially force the hand of other law schools. So, for example, if you're at a second-tier school and you'd like to admit on a race-blind basis, you really don't have that option unless you want to be completely segregated, because all the blacks who would normally qualify in your pool, and there are lots of blacks who would, have been sucked up by preferences into the top tier. So the second-tier schools have to turn to the third tier, maybe the fourth tier, to admit students who have a racially diverse class. The third-tier schools then have to do the same thing, and it follows all the way down the hierarchy. So we create a sort of a musical chair process where each black is bumped up one or two spots in the hierarchy. And what we found, again, I think this is a new finding, is that about half of blacks end up in the bottom tenth of their class. And we find that that's not explained by race at all. It's explained by this huge credentials gap that students start law school with. That's going to replicate itself in the grades that they get.
David Wilkins, what do you have to say to that?
Well, I think it's true that every law school is interested in having a diverse class of students, and that every law school is operating out of a common pool. So to that extent, I agree that it is an interlocking system. But the strength or the importance of the point that Rick makes hinges on an assumption about the importance of entering credentials for ultimate success. And that is the area where I think the issue is most critical. If you look at the study, the most comprehensive study that was done on this by the University of Michigan, it showed that there was no statistically significant correlation between what one could see about students as they came in, i.e. their undergraduate grade point averages, their LSAT scores, the two things Rick looks most closely at, and their outcomes after they graduated, whether measured by salary, satisfaction, or public service.
Rick Sander, you came away from your study with a radical idea, I think it would seem, and that is that scaling back affirmative action now will actually, in the end, produce more black lawyers.
Yes, and that's true whether you went for a total abolition, which I'm skeptical about, or whether you did a partial abolition. The performance of those students would be so much stronger at the schools that they'd be attending that their attrition rates would be dramatically lower. So instead of 45% graduating and passing the bar in the first attempt, it'd be more like 65 to 70%. That would more than offset the lower numbers admitted, so you'd be expanding the pool. The fundamental issue, though, really isn't whether you end up with a slight expansion or a slight contraction, but whether you'd be producing better lawyers. And it seems pretty clear from these results that a lot of blacks are not going to get good education at the schools they're going to now because they're having so much difficulty on the bar when they get out. And these attrition effects, I argue, ultimately outweigh the pool expanding effects of preferences.
When you say attrition effects, you mean you lose more black law students than you gain black lawyers.
That's right. And we've got to be really concerned about whether that trade-off makes sense.
Well, does it, David Wilkins?
There are a number of problems with Rick's last statement. One is that his claims about how many students would continue to be admitted to law school are based on very optimistic predictions that everybody who applies now and agrees to go to law school would continue to do so in a world in which they would be bumped down 50 or 60 schools in terms of the schools in which they would be able to matriculate. That's the first point. The second point is that it misses almost entirely the importance of going to an elite school that goes beyond what one's grades are. They meet people, they see opportunities, they imagine possibilities that they would not have known of had they been confined to the schools that they would go to under Rick's proposal. The fact of the matter is that when we look at the students over time who have been hired by large law firms, they come overwhelmingly from the top schools. We all know that grades have a diminishing effect over time in what people's opportunities are, whereas where one went to school has an escalating effect in terms of those opportunities.
I don't think that somebody considers someone's GPA when they're interviewing for them for a job 10 years after graduation. But they do consider how good a lawyer they are. And how good a lawyer they are is going to be a function of how good their education was. If you're in the very bottom of your class, you're not getting as good an education as you would if you'd be at the middle of the class in another school.
David Wilkins?
The evidence just actually doesn't support that very last claim. Every study that has been done of the beneficiaries of affirmative action has shown them to be very successful. In 1960, there were less than 2,000 black lawyers in the entire country. Today, there are something like 35 or 40,000 black lawyers. There is absolutely no question that this improvement is due substantially to the effect of affirmative action. It's easy to say, well, that's all in the past. We can now move on. But I think there's a very high presumption against changing a policy that works.
David Wilkins is a professor at Harvard Law School. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Renee.
Richard Sander is a professor at UCLA's School of Law. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Richard Sander's article will be published in the next issue of the Stanford Law Review. David Wilkins is writing one of several critiques that will appear in the Law Review next spring.